you may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again, as Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, folks. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios, revamped here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. I want to welcome all of our new listeners and, of course, our longtime listeners. I want to say hello to you and everyone out there and new viewers. Thank you so much. Folks, so we broadcast live Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Find us at HagmanandHagman.com. Bookmark that site from there. You can go anywhere. You can catch our live feed. We're, of course, on Global Star Radio Network. And if you want to watch us live, we're on YouTube Live. It's just go right off of HagmanandHagman.com. And, of course, we have another website, HagmanReport.com, there. It's down for a little bit. We apologize. We ran into a bandwidth issue, but we've got that back up and running. But there you can find show prep news and information that normally, it's important news. So, HagmanReport.com. Excuse me, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and, of course, my son Joe Hagman together. Something I like to call the America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We're investigators by profession, of course. Now, tonight we've got a really great show for you. Many people will recall, and in fact, since his last appearance, we have gotten emails saying, got to get John McTernan on. Folks, we've had him on before, and always a crowd pleaser. Our guest tonight is Mr. John McTernan. His website, usaprophecy.com. We've got just a wonderful show for you lined up tonight. Now, tonight's nice broadcast brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. So, we've got the pleasure, the honor, the privilege of having John McTernan on tonight. I just want to mention this as well, folks. I was serious yesterday. We had two in-studio guests yesterday, Mr. Jack Cashel and Mr. Nin Privatera. Well, Jack Cashel, of course, his book coming out on July 5th, 20 years this July, 20 years since the downing of TWA Flight 800. The things that book you learned
years.
In that 20 years, sir. 96.
Oh, 96, okay.
Yeah. Did I say 86? If I did, I apologize. No, 1996, July 17th, 8:31 p.m., 12 minutes after takeoff, just off the southern coast of New Jersey. The playbook for the current political environment and the geopolitics that served as a backdrop for that takedown exist today. But Jack Cashel, really, folks, what an incredible amount of information last night. And I would urge everyone to go to Amazon and pre-order his book, TWA, The Crash, The Cover-Up, and The Conspiracy by Jack Cashel. Joe, welcome tonight.
It's great to be here tonight. Quick announcement before we get to our guest tonight. We're going to have John McTiernan on with us for the first 2 hours. Then Chance from American Survival Wholesale will be joining us in the third hour, top of the third hour, to talk about bug out bags and
what's in yours. Yeah, what's in your bug out bag? Have you thought of it? About it? And, you know, if you've got a go bag.
Yeah.
Do you have a go bag in your car? Do you have a go bag at the ready?
I make my wife hold it all the time.
I mean, but, with us, it's like a nuclear, you know, the nuclear football.
We're going to be talking about what you need to have inside your bug out bag, and different practical applications and uses of things that you can put in your bug out bag that you normally wouldn't think of. And then tomorrow we have Dr. Ted Breuer, who will be joining us for the whole show.
Yes.
Just want to say a thank you to everybody out there who said prayers for his son, Austin. He is continuing to recover. And Friday, Steve Quayle.
And Sig Swanstrom. Yep. He's the author of God.
Talking about self-defense through a biblical perspective.
Yep.
But tonight, we're talking about spiritual blindness in America with John McTiernan.
John, it's great to have you, sir.
Yes, thank you. I'm delighted to be on your show and delighted to be able to share information with your listeners.
Oh,
and by the way, you were talking about the flight TWA 800?
That's correct, sir. Yes.
Yeah, that came down off Long Island.
Right. Yes, yeah, 230 people aboard. Yeah, 230 people aboard July 17th, 1996, 8:31 p.m., 12 miles south of East Mauritius, New York, off of Long Island.
Right, and, that's right.
Biggest cover-up. Yeah.
I'm from New York originally, from Long Island, New York, and I lived in... It's called Santa Mauritius. You've got East Mauritius and Santa Mauritius. But I lived in Santa Mauritius, and I had moved when that plane went down, but I had plenty of friends there, and one of them was a fisherman. They fish off Long Island there. And he saw the whole thing, and he saw the missile come up from the water and bring the plane down, and the FBI told him, no, it was the opposite. They said, no, you saw it wrong. It was the opposite. And there was several people there that I knew that saw the missile come up from the water and bring the plane down. And the FBI told them all the same thing. I'm sorry. Just I didn't know that you were going to mention that. And I happened to have some, like, I won't say direct knowledge, but I spoke directly to people who were eyewitnesses because they were friends of mine.
Well, it's interesting you say that because despite the fact that the book is already written and will be available for presale, and Jack Cashel, his investigation is pretty much done, anyone that, you know, we're double and triple checking, not the sources, but the new sources. So even though the FBI might have interviewed him, I think Jack has gone through all of the 302s, several hundred of them. And even the 256, he might have even gone through or spoken to your friend. But the thing about this is the cover up and the conspiracy with respect to the cover up. The 302s representing what that is an investigative document. And John, I know you know this, but folks, when you're interviewed by the FBI, a 302 page is generated, and what that is a summary, detailed summary of the interview. And what we found, or what Jack found out, and I had learned this myself before, is that many of the 302s were changed to reflect a narrative more closely resembling that of a mid-air explosion and no missile. So I would wager, if I was a betting man, that your friend's 302 has been changed or discounted completely. So, you know, it might be interesting if you would contact Mr. Cashel. You know, it's at some point in the near future, because that's really, it's really something. In that environment, you know, I got to tell you, Mr. McTiernan, the environment that was then, that was existing back then, 20 years ago, it's like that today. And the same players, basically. Some new players, different set of circumstances, but lies every day. It's sad we can't trust our government.
It's so bad now that almost any conspiracy theory is believable. You know, you can't discount any conspiracy theory now, because the lies, the deception, the misinformation, It's like Pravda from the old Soviet Union. It's a sad state when you become. In fact, what happens is the government, especially on the federal level, loses all respect with the people. Because you can only lie so much, and then we catch on with it, then you've got no credibility.
That's right. Yeah, it's sad when we see this happen. And, you know, people ask, well, how can a cover-up of that magnitude possibly take place? Well, it only takes a few at certain choke points. And that's what the consolidation of power is all about. You know, when you consolidate power under, for example, the Department of Homeland Security, you can control the information outgoing and incoming, as well as, for whatever purpose that they want to do. So, and I see that taking place right now. And you know, we were talking before the show, and folks, our guest website today, John McTiernan, USAProphecy.com. That's USAProphecy.com. Bookmark that website, and there's a lot of information there at USAProphecy.com. Much information. And you can see it on the screen if you're watching this live. But John, that's the environment we live in today, this murkiness of information where, I mean, Islam here in America, the news doesn't even report the brutal assault of a 5-year-old Idaho girl. We talked about this in our program. We changed the narrative on all of the Islamic attacks. Obama can't even utter the words Islamic terrorism. Yeah. So, to you.
I happen to just pick up on what you're talking about in Idaho, and I don't know if you shared that with your listeners or not. Have you shared that with your listeners?
Yes, we have. And for those that might not be aware, there were 3 refugees, illegal immigrants, that raped.
Yeah, don't you dare say refugees.
Okay, immigrants. That raped a 5-year-old special needs girl. And this was a horrific crime that occurred on June 2nd in Idaho.
Yeah, and there was an eyewitness, an elderly woman, that came upon this, and she called the police. And then from what I understand, the police and the district attorney and all were denying that anything happened. Is that correct? And then there was a public outcry about it. And then all of a sudden, they admitted what happened, and they won't talk about it. And it's what we have to be very careful of. Is that my accurate with that, Doug?
Essentially, yes. Now we have actually the actual story here. Let me pull this up here.
There were 2 boys arrested.
The head was the 13-year-old. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, they say that much of what occurred on the June 2nd incident is unclear, clouded by emotion and rumor, and sealed from public record due to the suspect's ages. It goes on to say, at a public meeting Friday, dozens of residents of the city's 44,000 voiced their concerns after word had spread that a young Syrian refugees had gang raped a little girl at knife point, defiling her in unspeakable ways. Was true. And some was not, and still more remains unconfirmed speculation. But authorities believe something terrible occurred. 2 boys were arrested and remain in custody.
But you've got an 8, 10, and 13-year-old, the oldest boy, directing the assault. I don't know. John, I'm not sure. I do believe all 3 were arrested, despite that report. You had a vague report on KMVT out of Idaho. But much of the social media, we're not getting the news from the social media, John. Where people are there. Now, I know you got to be careful, and I know we have to be careful because a lot of the facts are misrepresented. But even so, for this government and the media for this government not to give Americans the facts of a crime that took place because of the alleged sensibilities to or sensitivities, rather, to Islam. They don't want to make it look
specifically
bad.
Specifically the administration's.
Yeah. And for the media to be complicit, it is a shame. It is shameful, and shame on every every reporter that goes along with this. Shame on the Bill O'Reillys of the world and the people that don't speak up over this. Now I'm really getting hacked off here.
They're the property manager who rented the property to the illegal immigrants who has evicted them.
Illegal aliens, man. They're not aliens. Immigrants come over here.
Same difference.
I just get, they're changing our language. They're changing our language. It's a Tavistockian thing from the Tavistock Institute. They're looking at the big picture. They're getting us, even us, we're falling into a trap. And we're saying, well, you know, these undocumented workers. No, pretty soon they're going to be just pretty people with daisies and lipstick. I don't know. But you know what? I'm really sick and tired of the language changes, and we're all falling for it. We're prisoners to 140 characters, and John, I'm ranting. I'm going to let you go on, so take it from here. Save me from a stroke.
Okay. That was a good lead-in to what I wanted to speak about, and I want to what I want to do is share about what I call a delusion that is actually it's more than one delusion. We'll say delusions that are spreading over America that's becoming frightening. I'll give you some scriptures in a little while to show you that that this is a judgment from God. But I happen to have debated and interacted with hundreds and hundreds of Muslims, and I've learned Islam from them. I did read some books about Islam, but I've learned Islam from the Muslims. And what's in play here, and this is amazing, is Sharia law. Under this law, you cannot speak bad about Islam. You cannot speak bad about Muhammad. It's like a death penalty. The infidels, for example, if a Muslim commits a crime against a Christian, they really have no rights, the Christians, and it takes like four Christians to bring charges or try to prove charges against the Muslim, and all the Muslim has to say is, I didn't do it, and that's the end of it. I mean, the whole system is rigged for Islam against everybody else. They rule with fear. The people have to pay, non-Christians have to pay what's called a jizra. That's a tax. And it's 25% on top of, a minimum of 25% on top of everything else. So if the average person in an Islamic society pays 25%, the Christians pay 50% on up, because they can be extorted. So what I'm driving at to tell you is that the West, us now in America, but really focusing on Europe, we have willfully put ourselves under Sharia law. I mean, Islam is not in control of America yet. If Obama gets his way, it will be. Islam is making striving for tremendous inroads in Europe, and Europe is starting to crumble. It's starting to break in many areas because of this. It's not immigration into Europe; it's an invasion. But if you notice, like we'll take in Europe now with this invasion of the Muslims, how there's tremendous outbreaks of rapes. Sweden is becoming either the rape capital of the world or of Europe. I'm not sure which one, but it went from virtually no rapes 20 years ago to being at least the rape capital of Europe. So what do they do? And what do they do in Germany with this tremendous outbreaks of rapes and molesting women? They tell women, well, you've got to cover up. That's what they would tell. Merkel and others said that. It's not like confronting the Muslims from what they're doing and right. Exposing them, because under Islam, the kufr, that is unbelievers. That's the title they have for us. Unbelieving women have no rights. They have no rights. The men can dominate them. I have friends in Islamic countries, and your wife just can't walk out of the house and walk down the street and go shopping. Not if she's a Christian in an Islamic atmosphere like that. You have to go with her. You know, her father may go with her. Others may go with her. You got to plan things out. This because she is an unbeliever and become fair game for Muslim men. And there was just a case I read the other day in Egypt where some young girl, a Christian girl, was out, disappeared. They either rape them, or what they'll do is they'll sell them off to marriage for some Muslim man, and she can never, how does she get away? You know, they take her 300-400 miles away. And there was a video where this young girl, she's about 13 or 14, she was confessing Muhammad as her prophet now. She had converted to Islam. That's after being kidnapped and probably raped. And it was on YouTube. It was circulating along on YouTube. So I said all that to say this, that, Doug, what's happening is, like, in Idaho, there's something in the atmosphere that's driving the people in the West to protect Islam. We don't want to offend them. We don't want to offend the Muslims. We don't.
The homosexuals, the blaming guns and blaming Trump and the right wing conservatives and Christians for what happened in Orlando. They're not blaming Islam. Why?
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is a spirit, a delusion has come over America. It's so obvious to see, and it's like they love Islam. There is something in deep inside people now. Oh, you can't speak against Islam. Do you remember? Of course, you remember San Bernardino, and they were making bombs. Remember, part of their attack was, and neighbors saw the bombs. And, well, we don't want to say anything because a woman across the street or next door, I didn't want to say anything because I thought I would be seen as bigoted anti-Muslim. So it blew my mind. Yeah. The FBI was investigating this guy, and coworkers were saying he was talking about, the Mateen there in Orlando. And the FBI went to investigate it. And Mateen said, well, I told them that because they were making fun of me as a Muslim and all. So they believed him and stopped the investigation because, these coworkers were bigoted against Muslims.
Huh.
This is mind-boggling. But do you see the point I'm driving at? That
yes.
That we in the West have, like, are it's like Islam is above us now. Just like we're in an Islamic country. And you can't speak bad against the Muslims. If those three boys, if they were Muslims and they had raped a kufur girl in Egypt, let's say, well, they're protected, and she's at fault. And you know, this is what is taking place now, not to a lesser degree in America, well, I don't know, but to a great degree in Europe. They are willfully submitting themselves to Islam.
That's right. And we have two issues here. I mean, John, in my view, by definition, and I've said this before, Islam is a cult. Now, we've provided documentation, guest information to show how the West how Nazi Germany back during World War II weaponized Islam for the purposes of the war. And there were even Muslim Gestapo platoons, brigades, or whatever you want to call it. So,
Hajj El-Husseini. Have you heard of Hajj El-Husseini?
Yes, yes.
He worked with the Final Solution. He was the Mifti of Jerusalem. The Mifti means the exalted teacher. He was the Mifti of Jerusalem, and he was working with the Nazis, and he was assisting them in the concentration camps with the extermination of the Jews.
That's right. Yeah.
And do you think that's presented today? Is that mentioned today? You know, there were Nazi SS divisions that were all Muslims from Bosnia.
Exactly. That's right.
And they fought at Stalingrad to the last man for the Nazis.
Yep.
But there is something that has gripped. And I, could I? Do you mind if I give you my? Did I interrupt your train of thought?
No, I just want to just to say that, that Islam, being the cult that it is, and I just want to reaffirm this, by definition, is a political system more than it is a religion. It poses as a religion. It's more than a religion. It's a comprehensive way of life. The Quran, Muhammad, his immediate followers, and generations of theologians prescribed many regulations governing every possible aspect of the Muslim social, political, economic, and religious life. And people need to understand this. And the women's rights, as you mentioned, women are unequal to men. Islam teaches that women are inferior to men. That's in Surah 2:228 for those who want citations. Unequal to men in Surah 4:11. Court witnesses, the witnesses of two women equals the witness of one man. You, if you're a woman in the Middle East and you said this, John, you get raped, well, you know what? They are gonna toss you in prison or execute you because, well, just because you're a woman, the status of a wife in relationship to her husband. That's addressed in Surah 3:14, 4:43, Surah 4:34, Surah 2:226, Surah 24:31, and 33:59. And that's regarding her appearance in public and so on. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. Sex and marriage, there's no equality whatsoever. So, and that's our UPS guy.
So it has to do with right, say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and that's it. And
exactly.
They write these books written by imams or religious scholars, I don't know who it is, but there's books written in Islam on how to beat your wife, and but yet don't break bones and leave a lot of bruises. In other words, pressure points. Apply pressure points if you're going to beat her.
Note my disgust. No, John, now I took you off your train of thought. Go ahead.
You did. So, thinking on this, Doug, and I've spent a tremendous amount, I spent quite a bit of time, as I watch Islam like a cancer invading the West, and why are they embracing it? The politicians in Europe and the politicians here, Hillary Clinton, Obama, well, virtually the whole Democratic Party, virtually, they embrace it, they love it, they coddle it, they promote it. You can't speak bad against it. And I think it's because they hate the God of the Bible. They rejected the God of the Bible. And they,
yeah, I agree.
Because they rejected the God of the Bible, they hate Western culture. You notice that? You notice that if you stop and think, the people that hate America seem to love Islam.
Very well said. Very, and that bears repeating, the people that... Say that again.
The people that hate America because we have a Christian culture,
right.
The God of the Bible. You know, it's imperfect, I admit that, but they seem to love Islam, and I think that at the root of the hard, I call them the hard left reprobates, at mm-hmm. their very root and at the root of Islam is they hate the God of the Bible. And that's the unity.
But John, isn't and this is what I really want to ask you as well, because, and of course our guest tonight, John McTernan, USAProphecy.com, isn't it ultimately the objective of those in power to decapitate, to take away all three monotheistic religions, to create one state religion, but to do so, they've got to, a big stumbling block, a big stone in the way is Christianity. Because Christianity,
yes.
You know, I mean, you don't see, you know, Christians, save a very few, calling for the deaths of homosexuals. You see Christian pastors saying it's wrong behavior, but again, except for a very few number, you don't see people calling for the deaths of homosexuals in the Christian faith. Those are the exceptions. But on the Muslim side, that's the rule. But see, they're going to blame
yes,
the Christians. You know, so they got to take out Christianity, or they're going to blame Christianity. Is to subvert our, well, in attempt to take away our God, the God of the Bible, and to dilute our Christian faith. take away Jesus Christ out of the picture. Take away the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of the picture. And this is what they're trying to do, in my view.
Yes, and there's a verse from the Bible I want to share. It's Isaiah 66:4. This is God speaking here through the prophet. I will, now listen to this, I will choose their delusions. Man, that is heavy. I will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that which I delight not. So if we're in rebellion against God, and this would be like a culture and as a whole, we reject him, we turn our back on him, God says, I will choose their delusions. So he has delusions out there to fit people in, and it's a judgment. So people are being judged by putting in a delusion, and we being outside the delusion can see it clearly. I mean, look at the delusions that are just engulfing our culture now. If a man wakes up in the morning and thinks he's a woman, well, then he's entitled to be a woman and shower with at high school. Some high school kid wakes up, well, I'm a girl today, I'm going to go into the girls' room and shower. And that's a constitutional right. And you're a bigot if you don't go along with it. They're under a delusion. These people actually believe it, that are promoting it. You know, a homosexual marriage. It's a delusion. There never was in history, and I've did extensive research on this, no culture. Maybe at the closest was at the end of Rome, in the 450s, 450 AD, maybe. They completely tolerated homosexuality, but they, almost all cultures, never saw marriage between homosexuals as a bona fide marriage. Never. I mean, even you take like atheistic cultures today, we'll say China, they don't recognize homosexuality. Hindus in India, they don't recognize homosexual marriage. Buddhists don't. They may be tolerant of homosexuality, but now we're in our culture is in this delusion where two men get together, that's a marriage.
Yeah. Two men get together. It's ridiculous. It's not. It's certainly not. I mean, that is definitely an abomination.
What I'm saying is it's broad spread in our society now. Islam is peaceful. And it's not peaceful. I mean, just look out across the world. First of all, they're fighting each other. The Shiites and the Sunnis I expect a civil war any day between them, and they fought throughout history. And then you have India and Pakistan. It's a little calm right now, but they got nuclear weapons pointed at each other, and they want to fight over Kashmir. You've got Nigeria with the Boko Haram, what they're doing. You've got constantly in Egypt, we hear about the Christians, the Coptic Christians, their churches being burnt, their women being raped, their businesses being burnt down. Then you've got them fighting the Jews with Israel. And you've got Syria. I don't know. You got them all fighting each other in Syria. So it's anything. And Doug, one other thing I just want to share. They say Islam is a peaceful religion. Well, let's look at Saudi Arabia. All right? How can you... That's sort of like the epitome of Islam, because you have Mecca there, you have Medina there, you know, that they all make their Hajj, the Muslims come from all over the world to come to Mecca and throw rocks at the devil there. So here we have Saudi Arabia. It's like a religious sort of totalitarian, brutal state where if a woman is found in a car with someone other than her husband or father, she's subject to being beaten. And I don't mean lightly tapped. They have special instruments for being beaten over there. If you convert to the Lord, it's a death sentence. And I'm sure plenty have been killed there we don't know about, but some it got public. and Saudi Arabia agreed to let them go. They were under a death sentence for conversion to the Lord, and Saudi Arabia allowed them to go to a foreign embassy and then leave the country. So you've got these religious, you got the religious police there. The women are absolutely, they can't drive a car. They can't do anything. Is that a peaceful religion? How do you equate Islam, where it rules, like in Saudi Arabia and Iran, in Pakistan, Egypt, and all these areas, to a peaceful religion? How do you, only if you live under a delusion?
And you're saying, John, just to be clear, that the delusion is God's judgment upon
yes.
the American people or upon the West, actually.
It's Islam is God's judgment on the Western world now.
All right.
It's judgment. God is sending Islam into the Western world for judgment.
Because we asked for it, right? I mean,
yeah, it's right in front of their eyes. You know, for example, what the horrible thing just happened in Orlando.
Right.
Well, that wasn't real Islam. The guy is hollering Allah Akbar. He's committed his life to al-Baghdadi, the leader of the ISIS movement to create a worldwide caliphate. He called 911 and made his confession to Islam and Allah Akbar and all. And people are saying this isn't real Islam. That's not Muslims. Islam didn't do this. In fact, the Lynch from
Department of Justice. Yep.
Yeah. She said we may never know the cause of why Mateen did this. Well,
Allah Akbar. Right. that's not ignorance. That's not incompetence. That's an outright lie. That is a dedicated lie by this regime and Lynch as one of the foot soldiers of Obama. You know, I was thinking about this. 5 days, the fundamental change, okay, of America. Boy, has America changed fundamentally. Can you imagine 2 or 3 days in the wake of 9/11 and look, those people who believe that Muslims are not involved in 9/11, I don't know what to say to you. Okay, but there was Islamic fingerprints all over 9/11 and the attacks. Okay, now other extraneous factors, sure, but Islam was at the epicenter of the attacks. Now, having said all of that, can you imagine a couple of days after 9/11 saying, "Hey, you know, 15 years from now, we're going to have basically a Muslim-biased president or a Muslim president by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, just finishing up his second term, and a Muslim director of the Central Intelligence Agency, John Brennan." Many will say, "Well, there's no actual proof of him converting." Well, I suspect the preponderance of evidence would show he had converted. Also, the Islamic element in the DHS. All of this together. How do we lose this control? How do we lose the war? I mean, people would. I suspect I would have been punched in the mouth if I would have said that, especially to a cop down at the Ground Zero. But here we are. And people are just sucking this up and loving it. And the homosexual community? Really? Guns are to blame? Trump is to blame? Republicans, Christian conservatives are to blame? Christianity is to blame?
Okay. Well, that's why I'm saying there's something about Islam. There's something about it. It's like cast a spell over the people. And why? Why is it? Why are they acting like this? From Isaiah 66:4, and later I'll share from 2 Thessalonians, that this is judgment on America. We are seeing, of course it's invisible, but we're seeing God's divine judgment. And it's much stronger in Europe than it is here, although it's fastly catching up here. But we're seeing God's divine hand of judgment on the Western world and on America for rejecting him and the things we're doing, which the Bible talks about judgment for, the wholesale killing of our babies. You know, we've killed 60 million babies in America now. the West, Europe, and Obama are trying to interfere with God's prophetic plan for Israel. The Bible is mocked now and rejected. So if we don't want the Lord, he's saying, okay, I'm going to pull back my protection. I'm going to pull back. I'm going to remove my Holy Spirit. And what's going to flood in the void is Islam. And you're going to get a full dose of Allah. You don't want me, you're going to get Allah. That's what I see happening, Doug.
Yeah, and we see that happening now. John, in the next hour, we still got about 15 minutes before the break, but I want to talk to you specifically about the two-state solution, what's been happening with the Western world, not only the UN and the United States, but also what they were doing in Paris a few weeks back, trying to broker a Palestinian-Israeli two-state solution, in which Paris saw one of the worst days of flooding in their in recent history.
Isn't that amazing?
And then get into
the
elections.
The very day they had the meeting, the city had its maybe the worst flood in modern history. So there's so many delusions coming over the American people now. It's like we're not living we're not living in reality anymore. And if you bring the people, if you expose their delusion, they get angry with you. I mean, they really get angry. You're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're this. You're that. I mean, if you tell someone, and I've seen it in their faces, that because a man thinks he's a woman doesn't mean he's a woman. you know, if I think I'm a pit bull, that doesn't make me a pit bull. I hope someone agrees with me with that.
Definitely agree with you. Well, you know, sure. They're taking it a step further.
There's reality outside of what we think. You know, I can believe all sorts of lies in my head and fantasies. I mean, we're starting to, like, make people that have deranged mentality, we're starting to say that they're normal, and if you say anything against them, you're an evil, narrow-minded, transgendered phobe or something, and they're trying to silence us.
Of course.
I mean, these are serious. This delusion is serious now. The mayor of New York, what was it, a $250,000 fine they want to impose on, what is it, companies that work with the city in this, if you don't use the right gender? Like, if a man thinks he's a woman and you call him sir or mister, you can be fined $250,000.
And there's 31 genders. 31 gender identities,
according to the city of New York. That's correct, in the state of New York.
$250,000 fine for addressing someone in the wrong gender?
Or actually offending someone. Offending by addressing, and the lexicon has changed. I mean, this goes back to this programming of the language. And I'm telling you, this is a huge deal, folks. I mean, but at the root of it, you're correct. A strong delusion has been sent over America and the West, and we are seeing it, in my view. And you know what? I don't think that there is a presidential candidate or a politician or anyone in power that will be able to save America from its delusion, because the change has got to be, in my view anyway, from the bottom up. We need to repent, get on our knees, pray, and you know what?
Yes.
Because one person is not, I don't care whether it's Donald Trump or whether it's George Washington, they could dig him back up, bring him to life, and you know, he's not going to fix this, okay? So
no, because the base here is there's no base for it. You have to have a base in society for the government above it. You follow me? So we could talk about democracy and everything you want, and you try impose that on Iraq, it's not going to work. It is just not going to work.
We tried that.
Yeah. We tried it. We tried it in Afghanistan. They have a tribal culture with strong men, and this idea of, well, democracy and everybody is going to get along and vote in, and it just doesn't work. No, it doesn't work. You have to have a base for it. So the base for America was people self-govern themselves. You didn't need a totalitarian government to keep people in line. You remember, like in Europe there, you had back in the 50s and 60s, you had Tito, from Yugoslavia. It's called Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
And as soon as he died, it all broke up. You had Serbia and Bosnia and all, and they were fighting and killing each other. Well, as long as you had Tito there, you could keep everything in line. The same thing with Iraq. As long as you had Saddam Hussein there. Now, look, I'm not saying they're good guys and I'm agreeing with them or anything, but Saddam Hussein was a tyrant. If you got out of line, you got killed. But if you stayed in line, there was a certain amount of freedom there. So that's what happened. The strong man died, and Iraq is the way it is now.
Oh,
same thing.
Wait a second, John, because I could see the emails floating in saying, well, no, you know, you're favoring these dictators like Tito. No, that's right.
No.
But see, and John, what did, I mean, when you consider Bush and you consider Obama, what they did both in Iraq, Afghanistan, and one can argue, perhaps rightfully or correctly, saying, well, Obama pulled us out of Iraq. But, you know, each decision, whether it was Bush 41 or Bush 43 during Desert Storm or the Iraqi War, respectively, or Obama in the pullout, each decision was made not on an indiscretion or a mistaken judgment or some sort of misintelligence, but made with, well, a lie at its core. And that lie was passed on to the American people. And really, this whole thing where we got here didn't start just this past week. It didn't start with Obama. It began actually decades ago. But having said that, all of these decisions, John, I believe, are making the environment here in the West and in America exponentially worse than it ever was, more biased against Christianity, more favorable toward Islam, and the people are sucking it up and saying, oh, I love it. I love my servitude. I love this. Just give me more. And homosexuals, it's normal. Oh, it's all about equality. It's not about equality. It's about special rights that don't even exist. The lie is so huge. People are just so deluded. You're right, John.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear, reinforcing what you said, I am not pro-Saddam Hussein or pro-Tito. I'm just saying when you have factions in a society like that that are diametrically opposed, like Serbia and Bosnia, only a strong man can hold it together. And when he's gone, then you end up with civil war and all the fighting. So that's what I was saying. You can't have democracy unless you have unity and self-control.
Well, this guy, that's right.
You have to have a strong man.
Our Constitution was created for a strong and morally upright people. And
yes,
nothing less. I can't remember which.
The Founding Fathers wrote about that.
Right. But there you have it. So what do we do about this? I mean, we got about 7 minutes to the top of the hour. What do we do about this? Or where do we go from here in this conversation? Or in the larger sense, either one. I mean, what next?
The only hope is God moving mightily in our country. Now, there were, if you study in history, it was called the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening. That happened in the 1740s. It started really in Connecticut. There was a preacher by the name, a very famous preacher, Jonathan Edwards, and he preached the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it ignited a spiritual fire. And then Wesley was here, George Whitfield was here in America. And even secular historians will admit that the Great Awakening is what gave the Americans the faith in God, generated by the Great Awakening, gave the Americans the strength to endure through the Revolution. And trust in God gave them the faith to beat the British. Now, you don't find that too much, but it's there. That modern scholars try to strip religion and things about the Lord out of everything. So if you read the modern scholars, Christianity didn't exist in 1776, you know? But nonetheless, that's what was the backbone of of the American Revolution was the spiritual revolution that took place. There was a great revival. It was called the Revival of 1857, just before the Civil War, and that was attributed to giving the North. The revival did not hit the South. It hit the North, giving the North the strength to endure, you know. So we've had these great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. There was others, but I mentioned two particular ones. We need the same again, Doug. We need the same thing again, or we're going to be consumed here. My great concern is that America is going to careem into the French Revolution. Because they hate God. It's not just that they're atheists out there and hard left now. They are militant. They hate us with a passion. They want to destroy. They want everything to do with God destroyed. So if we stand with him, they want us destroyed. I've seen this grow in America. I'm not so much anymore, but a couple of years ago, I was bombarded by them on my blog and on Facebook. The hatred for God is palatable, and what generated the French Revolution? The hatred for God.
And Paul McGuire, a frequent guest on our show, talks exactly about that. Yes. God is so, the God of the Bible is the ultimate target here.
The Word of God, the Bible, and the God of the Bible.
That's right. The Word of God, yes. And Steve Quayle, who's on, a good friend, he says the same thing, Pastor Langford. Right. I mean, they're gunning for Christians. They're gunning for the Word of God. They're gunning for the name of Jesus. They're gunning for the Holy Bible, the Christian Bible. And they're John. That's why. And I think you and I had this discussion a day or two ago. I can't remember. I don't know. I'm suffering from some sort of mental disease, I think. I'm convinced of it. The older I get, the less I remember. But weren't you and I speaking about how in the world can there be this seemingly peaceful coexistence between the homosexual community, especially those in Florida, and the Muslims?
We did discuss that. And I've written extensively on that. That had to break, that it was part of this delusion where Obama, for example, just he runs to defend and promote homosexuality. He's done everything single-handedly he could do to promote and encourage homosexuality and at the same time Islam, but they're incompatible. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, they're incompatible. And there had to be a break somehow, some way, between the two. And I think what we're seeing now, what happened in Orlando, is showing what's coming. And you notice how Obama sided with the Muslims?
I'm sorry, who sided with the Muslims?
Obama. He sided with the Muslims homosexuals.
John, for some reason, we lost you like in mid-sentence there. So
the big clash now all of a sudden the homosexuals in great numbers got it with what the terrorist did, and he did it with Islam, and what's going on in Islam under ISIS, for example, and the death sentence. There are approximately 50 countries with a Muslim majority. 37 have laws, one degree or another, against homosexuality, and 10, it's the death penalty. And the Muslims got it now when they saw what happened. And Obama basically threw them under the bus. Oh, Islam had nothing to do with this. Islam had nothing. Oh, no, this wasn't Islam. Oh, no, this was guns. This was guns. Well, they saw that it was Islam. Islam was the driving force behind this.
But still, even though they may have gotten it, I'm not sensing like enough of a do I dare call it a reasonable backlash or a reasonable indictment in the social sense of Islam. I mean, are we seeing? Oh, the homosexuals, the community is uniting, and we are Orlando. I see that everywhere now. We are Orlando, but are they uniting? Well, how are they uniting? I suppose. More after the network news here.
Folks, you're talking with John McTiernan.
Yeah. USAProphecy.com. What a great website.
His book, As America Has Done to Israel, one of a few books that he has written. Go to his website, USAProphecy.com. He'll be with us until in the next hour, 45 minutes until the next hour, because he starts his own radio show at 9 p.m. Eastern.
That's right.
We'll be right back with John. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.